on Yom Kippur, when they heard the Shem HaMefarash, they had to say, Baruch Shem for so every time they brought this recited in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Lomboy, because that is the response when you hear the Shem HaMefarash. Blessed be God's glorious name forever and ever. So the Mashal says, that is exactly why the response to every bracha in the Beis HaMikdash was not Amen, but was Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol. Does everyone understand the idea? Because when you hear the Shem HaMefarash, that is what you're supposed to say. We see that from the Yom Kippur service. And the Marsha's Chiddush is, that is not a unique Yom Kippur feature. That is the feature of answering when you hear the Shem HaMefarash.
So every bracha they said in the Beis HaMikdash had a true name of God instead of just
the Adam. That's the Marsha's Chiddush. You would not get that impression. You would think this was a unique feature of Yom Kippur. So perhaps, as I said, the uniqueness was they used a special name of God, the 42 or the 72. But even during the week, it wasn't only the Kohen Gadol. Every Kohen that davened in the Mikdash used one of the special divine names of God. So with this, the Marshal goes further and says a fascinating gematria. I'm sure you've heard this Gemara. The Gemara says, Gadol ha'una amein yoser min ha'mavarech. A person who answers Amen to a bracha gets more reward than the person who actually makes the bracha. That's why there's an Indian taka to really try to answer Amen to people's brachas. In fact, some people have a minhag that you'll see this in Yerushalayim a lot, that they make a point of making brachas out loud so everyone will hear, you know, they're putting on their tefillin, or they'll say it out loud so people, they can be mezakeh people in answering Amen. In fact, they say Rav Chaim Lashner had a minhag. He would never make a bracha unless there was somebody who could answer amen to his bracha. He would not make a bracha because he wouldn't. If there was nobody with him, he would not drink or anything, because he would only make a bracha if somebody would answer amen. So they tell a maisa like this. It's an interesting maisa. They tell a maisa that one time in the middle of the night, everybody in his household was asleep, and he was up learning, but all of a sudden he was tremendously thirsty. Just needed to have a glass of water. But he had this thing, he would not drink unless there was somebody to say amen. He was not going to wake up his family just so they could answer amen. So he's really, he can't even concentrate on his learning, he's so thirsty. All of a sudden there's a knock at the door, and he's like, Baruch Hashem, someone's knocking at my door. And it was one of his talmidim in Balazhan. And one of the talmidim said, Rabbi, I saw the Rosh Hashiva was up, so I thought I could ask the Rosh Hashiva, I catch it. So Chaim Lashon, Baruch Hashem, of course, anything you want to ask, let me just have a drink first. He says, makes a charko, the person says, amen. Chaim takes his drink, says, all right, let's learn. So they learn for a few hours, and right. So anyway, so the next day, he bumps into the same student. And he says, you know, I'm just so grateful you came over last night, I really had to drink, and Baruch Hashem, because you came over, I was able to drink. So the student had a blank expression on his face. He says, Rabbi, I wasn't there. I wasn't there last night. So it turned out like Eliyahu HaNavi kind of came to disguise as a student in order that Rav Chaim shouldn't suffer. Like Abraham, right? Abraham wanted guests. Hashem B'davka made it so hot that there would be no guests traveling because he wanted Abraham to recuperate from the circumcision. But since Abram was in so much pain that there were no guests, Hashem had to artificially create the guests. And those are the three angels that came, because Nebuch, otherwise Abram's suffering at not having guests would be greater than his suffering at being inconvenienced after his circumcision. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to disturb Rav Chaim Lashner, so he didn't send him anybody. When he sees Rav Chaim has to drink, so he sends him the guests. So the Marsha says like this, why is Amen better than the bracha? What is so great about Amen? I mean, I made the bracha. You said Amen. Why is that better than the one who made the bracha? So listen to what the Marsha said. There's a little gematria that you need to be aware of. And that is the following. He says, the shame of Hashem that we use in a bracha, which is not the shame of a flourish, is the shame of Agnes. God is the master, right? Adel. So what is the gematria of that? Aleph, Dalet, is 5, Nun is 50, so it's 55, and Yud is 65. Right, so the gematria of Adnus is 65. Now the gematria of the Shem Havaya, Yud Ke Vav Ke, right, so that's 15, and 6 is 21, is 26. So that's what, 65 is Adnus, and 26 is Havaya. So 65 plus 26 equals 91. Is that right? 60, 65, and 26 is 91. What is the gematria of Amen? Amen is 1, 40, and 50. That's 91. So the Marsha says the following. When you say a bracha and you use the shame of Adnos, Amen connects your bracha, which is the gematria of Agnes and Havaya, it connects your bracha to the highest level of godliness. And it brings the shefa, it brings the influence of God from the highest level. So what is your bracha doing with Amen? Amen is adding Havaya to Agnes and opens up the gates of heaven. And that's why the Amen is greater than the bracha itself, because the bracha itself connects to God on a lower level. And with Sirif Amen, you're connecting God at a higher level. So now the Marsha says, we understand why there's no reason to answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Because since in the Beis HaMikdash, you already use the Shema Vaya, so you don't need to upgrade the bracha in any way. All you say is, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus HaLevod, and that is why answering Amen normally is greater than the bracha, because it is adding Havaya, 91. By the way, as a little aside, the Baal Shem Tov points out that if Amen, so it turns out 91 is a significant gematria number. Whenever you come across a gematria of 91, remember that it is the tziruf, it is the sum, it is the combination of the Shem Adnas, which is 65, and the Shem Havaya, that is 26. So, one other word that is 91 is the word sukkah. Right, Samach, Vav, 66, and Chaf is 20, is 86, and 5, Hey, is 91. And therefore the Baal Shem Tov himself writes that a sukkah is like a double embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house, you're embraced by the Shem Adnas, which is 65, and the Shem Havaya, that is 26. Okay?
One creates a very spiritual level of using the two names of God,
yeah.
And it's by creating, in a sense, a surrounding malach, which is 91.
Right. So this is just very much. This is a marsha. I mean, most of this is from the marsha, and the marsha's comment is very, very interesting. You wouldn't realize it because, in a way, it means that some of the stuff that was done on Yom Kippur was not as unique as you might have thought. Because the Shem HaMeforesh was used every single day in the Beis HaMikdash.
What does the abbreviation Amen stand for?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a few things. There is a drush that says it's an abbreviation of Kael Melech Ne'aman, that God is the faithful God. But in reality, if you simply want to know the translation, Amen comes from, it is true. I affirm and declare that what was said in this bracha is true. So it comes from emuna. I have faith in this bracha. That's very important. So I say, shakol li'abed baro, that God created everything. You say, amen, I believe in this, I affirm in this, and the like. The only thing is, from a non-Kabbalistic perspective, why would that be better than the bracha? I mean, the guy who made the bracha is also affirming. Right? So that's why the Marsha says that you're adding this gematria of the Shem Havaya, that takes the bracha to a higher place. Yeah.
When you say the Aleph Dalet name in the tefillahs, when it's spelled Aleph Dalet,
yeah.
Not as
yes.
Four letters, so does that have a different bluffing status? Or?
Well, again, apparently not, because although you're thinking about the Shem Havaya, but since the word you articulated is the Aleph Dalet word, so that only gets you the status of the 65. And not the 26 altogether. Now it could be your kavana has a role here, but it's not the same as, in other words, thought is not as powerful as speech. So when you can articulate the Shem Havaya, or the Amen, that's a more powerful thing. By the way, this would explain, another explanation of why davening with the minyan is so powerful. Now, there are a lot of reasons. First of all, we know that obviously a prayer is more accepted when you're in a minyan. But another reason is that when you're in a minyan, there's going to be an Amen, a lot of Amens in the Chazaras Hashatz. So every one of your Shmoneh Esrei Brachos gets combined with the Amen that brings it up. When you're davening B'yechidos, like you're not going to have those Amens that add the Shein Havayah. So that's yet another reason why there's a concept of davening with a davening with a minyan.
So when you call in someone, like a person, your master, it's the exact same words as Hashem's name.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it is. And in fact, I'll even more than that. Even the word Elohim, which is another name for God, it represents the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice. There are times in the Torah where we don't read it Elohim, we read it Elohim, and Elohim just means powerful entities. Judges, a Beis Din, can be called Elohim. Right? So there are names of God that are sometimes not used exclusively for God. So again, when you say Aleph Dalet, when you say that name, although it can mean my master, but one has to remember that Hashem is Adon HaKol, the master of everything. But it is, the Havdil, not that it's approved. In English, it's the same thing. When you say Lord, right? So Lord, you have Lord from Lord in England, right? All sorts of Lords all over the place. What did somebody say? The late chief rabbi of England, the one before Rabbi Sachs, who's now retired himself, was Rabbi Jacobowitz. Who was that Chasham person? Thomas Chacham. I knew him myself. And he was actually, not only was he knighted, he was actually a lord. He was in the House of Lords. He officially was Lord Jacobowitz. So one of his Talmidim went over to him, an older person, and said to him, you know, I always knew the Lord is my shepherd. That's the 23rd Psalm. But now I see my shepherd. Sometimes a rabbi is like a shepherd. My shepherd is a Lord. You know, So somebody asked me, "Are you allowed to use the title Lord, since only Hashem is the Lord?" But the answer is that these are words that are used also for human relationships. So one is allowed to, as long as one understands that it's not God. God we only use for God. But Lord we can use. King, Melech. Now, the interesting question is, which I don't have a clear answer, is that, it is prohibited to erase a name of Hashem. You cannot erase or destroy the name of Hashem. That's why there's all sorts of shilas about erasing tapes, but there we do possibly. Even shutting off a computer screen, right? Some people have raised the question, if I have on my computer screen a page of the Siddur, and Hashem's name is displayed, like, how can I shut it off? Anti-erasing. All right, so we permit that, because we don't, it's not a permanent writing, etc. It's meant to be on and off. But certainly, if you have Hashem's name on a tangible piece of paper, it is forbidden in that Torah to erase it. However, certain names of God are non-erasable, and certain names of God are erasable. So, for example, if you have a pasuk that says Hashem Melech, Hashem is my king, or is the king. I can erase the word Melech, king, because although it's referring to God, but Melech is a word that we use for human kings as well, so it's not a uniquely divine shem. So as a general rule, you cannot erase those names that are only used for God, but you can erase those names like Rachum, merciful. You can erase merciful because merciful can also describe a human being. Right, you understand? So even if it's used to describe Hashem, it can be erased because it is not a unique term for Hashem. But what's difficult is that L'chari the Shem Adnas, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is also not a unique term for God. And Elohim, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, is not a unique term for God. And yet it is a Dover Pashut that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud cannot be erased. And Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem cannot be erased. So that's a question I don't have a clear answer for. That is, it's not true to say that the prohibition of erasing is only if it's a term that's only used for Hashem. Because there are terms that are used for humans and we are not allowed to erase them. On the other hand, some phrases we are allowed to erase. So it's hard to know. Maybe it's a question of majority usage. I don't know what the criteria would be. Maybe if most of the time it's used for Hashem, that triggers the issue of erasing. If it's 50-50, it would be mucher. But, and by the way, if it's big machlokas, you know that a lot of people, when they write God in English, right? I'm sure you've seen this, maybe you made me do this. They write G, capital G, dash D. Right? And why do they do that? Because people feel that if I write G-O-D and the paper gets thrown away, it's not put in Seamus, or it gets erased, or it gets ripped up, that would be violating the rules against the improper destruction of Hashem's name. So you write G-D in order that you don't write Hashem's name. So that comes to a very big machlokas. Mi'ikar HaDin, any name of God that is not written in Hebrew, any name of God that is written in a other language does not have that kedusha, and you are permitted to throw it away or erase it. So according to that, you would not have to write G-D, because even the G-O-D you'd be allowed to throw away. Other opinions say that you have to treat that name with holiness as well. So because of the suffix, I think G-D is a good idea. Such a right, but there are many, but be aware that many opinions say it's not an obligation. That's why you'll see, in fact, Chashuv people not doing it. Yeah.
If something was written, there's an opinion, these Rabbi David Feinstein told me that if something is written Shalom L'Shem Kedusha, not for the sake of holiness, let's say, for example, you show a picture from Yale University with Yud, followed by a Hey, followed by a Vav, followed by a Hey on the emblem there, but it wasn't written with holiness, and you see it in the New York Times or something like that. Do you have to cut it out and put it away?
So he said what?
Shalom L'Shem Kedusha. Because he mentioned years ago Divrei Yechezkel, and maybe he changed his mind. The Shailas Jew was Divrei Yechezkel. I was looking for it. In other words, something was written in the origin.
Sons of Rav Sasan.
I'm sorry?
That's the Sons of Rav son, the Shin of Rav.
The origin was, that he told me, is when they started to do the Chumash, with, you know, the printing press.
Yeah.
And if you put too much ink on, right. So you're covering over God's name.
Right.
So you got to be, you're going to have to walking on eggshells if you right. make a mistake. Right. So you have in mind Shalol, even though it's a sefer, Shalol L'Shem Kedusha, not for the sake of holiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, when a person writes it, if you write something out, it's not for the sake. And that was the heter that Malevsky told, Yerny Malevsky told me, Uziel's son, that when they threw out, I saw him in his shul in Toronto, the parsha sheets, he said, there's a shita that the parsha sheets are to be thrown, and they didn't necessarily put them into Seamus, because they didn't, they didn't.
Yeah. Now the parsha sheets are a slightly different question, because that's not a shiloh necessarily of Hashem's name. That's a shiloh of Divrei Torah. I mean, most parsha sheets do not, I think they are careful that they don't actually use Hashem's name. But listen, occasionally you're going to have this big problem. Sometimes in newspaper ads, as Rapstein said, sometimes in newspaper ads, they're going to print the Chanukah brachos, or they'll print some sukkah from the Chumash. It will have the shame of Hashem mamish. And many people do say, you got to cut it out and put it in Seamus. He's saying a hetzer from David Feinstein, that since it was not printed with the intention of having sanctity, it may not have sanctity. But again, the chatzchila,
just to wrap it up, or something.
You should cut it out and put it away.
If you have the name written clearly in reference to humans, then it's mutter.
That's for sure. It's mutter. Yeah, there's no question about that. The chiddush is that some names of God, even if they're referring to God, if they're also used for humans, there would be a like Rachel, Chanum, Melech, and the like. Okay. So being this night, this is the Marshal's point, and I guess for us, I think we should realize that answering Amen is a very, very important opinion. There are actually books about the greatness of answering Amen, and we should be zeicha to bring the Shem Avaya into all of our brachos, and to bring our brachos up to Shemayim.